Today's scripture reading comes from Exodus 3:13-15. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your father has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name? And what should I tell him?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'" This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning once again. Morning. Okay, let's try that one more time. Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning, gathered together to worship the Lord. I want to thank the worship team for leading us in worship. Thank you, Tiffany, for leading us in prayer. Thank you, Angelina, for reading the scripture for all of us. We appreciate you. A few weeks ago, I had briefly mentioned God's name and have continued to do so throughout the past 3 months, actually, while preaching on various different topics. I emphasized the idea that when we call upon God's name, He hears us, right? And when we pray in His name, He answers our prayers. Amen? And so this morning, I want to take the time to know one of the most essential and significant names of our God. But as always, before we go any further, why don't we pray for the word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, as we just gather this morning, as we sing these songs, as we hear your voice through the scripture, we just cannot help but in awe of you. Lord, we are reminded of your love for us. We're reminded of your grace to us, your grace and mercy. So Lord, we pray that as we hear your word now being preached and spoken to us, Father, would you open our hearts? Would you open our minds? Lord, we lift any distractions this time. We want to lift up any distractions out of our minds and out of our hearts around us in this room, that you would just help us to focus on your word, that we, us as your people here, would truly heed your word, hear it, and act upon it, that we may glorify you through our lives. So do this. Holy Spirit, be with us this time as we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So names. If you think about it, names have meaning and value. Names distinguish us from others. Names give us our identity. Each of your names have a meaning, right? And some of you have two names. You have an English name, a Canadian name, right? And a Chinese name, or a Korean name, or a Vietnamese name, French name, whatever it may be. We have multiple names. My name in Korean is, as most of you probably know already, it's Ansik. And if you look at the Chinese character used in Korean names, right, or other names as well from different countries, but they really sound nice, sound really cool. And so if you look at the Chinese character of my name, An, and the Chinese character means comfort, and then Sik is plant. So if you combine those two words together, right, it's plant and Sik. Can I get that? So what my name means is planting comfort. Isn't that interesting? I find it very meaningful. Now, it also has another meaning, right? Ansik, it's actually a word itself, and it means rest in general, or Sabbath, that you can easily find in the Bible. And so if I just open my Korean Bible, I can find Ansik everywhere, like the whole, you know, Old Testament and New Testament, because there's Ansik everywhere, Sabbath everywhere, right? And the first Ansik that you can actually find, if I can just share, it's from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 2, where God had finished all of his work, and on the seventh day, he rested, right? God, Ansik. So that's my name, if you didn't know. I hope you remember my name. It's a very Christian name, by the way. And I'm sure if you break down your name too, you have some amazing meanings as well. Amen? Yes. Our names give us our identity, but they also tell the world what kind of person, what kind of character you have, you possess. Names in scripture would encapsulate that person's character, that person's essence. And that's why people were not to just be casual about naming their children. It was a serious business. People, they took time to name their children because it would signify, it would identify, and it would characterize that person, distinguishing that person from another. Now, God also has a name. He has many names. I don't have, you know, I cannot go over all the various names of God or titles of God today, but there are hundreds. There are literally hundreds of different names and titles of God. But today, what I want to focus on is I want to focus on the self-disclosed, self-revealed proper name of God found in the Old Testament. And that name is Yahweh. Or some of us are more familiar with the King James version of it, Jehovah. There are different ways to pronounce God's proper name. And as a matter of fact, Bible scholars are convinced, you know what? No one truly knows. No one truly knows how to pronounce God's name. No one really knows. Is it Yahweh? Is it Jehovah? Yahuwah? Jehuwah? I mean, there are so many different possibilities to how to pronounce God's name. But make no mistake, right? God has revealed to us his self-disclosed, his proper name, and it comes from the verb to be. God's name comes from the verb, the Hebrew verb, to be, haya. I know, some of you are like, isn't that an expression of saying, you know, frustration or disappointment, haya? But haya is a Hebrew word, to be. And so Yahweh, Jehovah, is a derivation of that verb, haya, to be. Some of you are laughing because it's so interesting, but as you all know, the name of God was so holy that it not only represented God, but it was God in the minds of the Israelites. So they couldn't utter that name because it was so holy. And so what they would do is, when they referred to God's proper name, they would not say Yahweh, but they would say Lord. If you look at different versions of the Bible, whenever the proper name of God is given, it's usually substituted with Lord. All caps. Whenever you see that L-O-R-D, Lord, it's referring to God's proper name. In Hebrew, Adonai, meaning my Lord. That was the proper respect that the people of God gave to the name of God. It was so holy that they couldn't say it. And they said, my Lord, Adonai. Now the question is, what about us? What about us now? Do we have that kind of reverence? Do we have that kind of fear or awe before God's presence? When we call upon God's name, do we have that sense of amazement, that sense of wonder? In order for us to understand today's passage, what we have to understand is we have to understand the context of Exodus 3, right? Where God summoned Moses on that mountain where he saw a vision of God in the form of a burning bush. So if you can remember, the bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. And out of that burning bush, the voice of God came forward to Moses. Moses, Moses, I have a job for you. I've called you. I called you to lead my people out of Egypt. You're the man that I chose. And the holiness of God was so much that Moses, he shielded his face. He covered his face because he couldn't look directly into the holiness of God. But that voice confirmed to Moses, Moses, I'm sending you to take my people out of Egypt, to set my people free, to lead them into this mountain so that they can worship me. You know, this is one of the most significant events in the life of people, God's people, in redemptive history. But as important as the Exodus was, it's even more important for us to see here how God reveals the majesty, the sovereignty of his character through his name. As God comes to Moses, he announces himself as the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, even before Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, people knew. That tells us that, right? People already knew God's name, that God had many names. And one of the most common ways that Jews refer to Jehovah, Yahweh, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Just like we just read this morning. The God of the patriarchs, the God of our forefathers. Here, however, in our passage today, God identifies himself as a personal covenant God, the one who has sovereignly initiated this relationship with his people. And so the first thing that God wanted Moses to recognize is that he is a God who is with his people, who will deliver them from Egypt for the purpose of worshiping him alone. God was accomplishing his covenant promise to Israel through Moses. And Moses recognized. He recognized the weight of this call from God. How weighty it was, how serious this call was. So what does Moses do? He doesn't immediately obey and be like, of course, God, on my way. He doesn't do that. Moses, he hesitates. He's reluctant. He hesitates. He looks for an exit. He looks for an out. And so what does he do? He first points to his own insufficiency in verse 11, which is not in today's passage, but Moses says this in verse 11. Who am I, Lord? Who am I that you would choose me to lead your people out of Egypt? Who am I? I'm nothing. Who am I? I'm not qualified. There's so many people out there who are more qualified than I am. God, you must have the wrong guy. But then the Lord says, no. God points back. God doesn't try to lift up Moses. He doesn't try to give him a pat down and be like, Moses, you can do this. Come on, have some self-confidence. Have some self-esteem, or you can do it. Believe in you. Doesn't do that. But what does the Lord say to Moses in the next verse, verse 12? God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. In other words, God is like, you know, Moses, this is not really about you. You're just a vessel. You're just an instrument. And what I'm going to do is I will work through you. I will be with you. I will provide everything you need to lead my people out of Egypt. Moses was asking God for a revelation of his character so that the Israelites may know that the one who called Moses was sufficient, able to achieve the deliverance that was promised by God. Moses, he needed confirmation, right? And so he goes from, who am I, right, to who are you? Who are you, Lord? When I go to the people and tell them the message that you have given me to deliver to the people, and when they come up to me and they ask, oh, that's the message that God has given you to deliver to us? Okay, then what's his name? Lord, when these people come up to me and ask these questions, what am I going to say to them? Like, who are you? What's your name? Not who am I, but who are you? It was God's revelation that God gave to Moses. The name that he has given to Moses was, I am who I am. God's utter, complete, self-sufficient name. God is not dependent on any other being, any other force, any other reality. He's sufficient in himself. He's dependent on nothing else, no one else. And so this means for Moses and for the Israelites that God was not dependent on Pharaoh's cooperation to accomplish what he had promised. God was telling Moses, I am sufficient. I am your God. I am who I am. My existence does not depend on anything else. You know, I actually said this many times before to my teens and to some of you here in this room, but please don't get shocked. But God, right? God doesn't need you. God doesn't need you to be God, right? God doesn't need us to be perfect. God doesn't need you to be who he is. What do you mean? Doesn't God love us? Doesn't he need us? No, he doesn't need any of us. God is perfectly happy and sufficient, and he has everything in himself. And yet, he chooses to call you, to love you, save you from your sin, to adopt you as sons and daughters. And what love, what grace. God has revealed himself fully throughout scripture in his word. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Am I getting the full, accurate biblical picture of God, the revelation of God? Do you sometimes hear a sermon or go to a Bible study and you realize this is not the full picture of who God is? This is a caricature of God. This is somebody's image of God. See, God has given us. God has given us a complete, full disclosure in his revelation, in his word. I remember reading about a pastor, R.C. Sproul. He's a famous pastor who is with the Lord now. But he described an encounter he once had with a woman who was very concerned about her church. She was angry, and so she shared with R.C. Sproul, you know, I go to church every Sunday, and I get the feeling that our minister is doing everything he can to conceal from us the true character of God. He's afraid that if he really opened up the scriptures and proclaimed the character of God as he is portrayed in the Bible, then people would leave the church because they would be uncomfortable in his presence. You know, Moses was not the first person to hide his face in the presence of God. That started all the way back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fled, when they hid from the Lord after sin entered Adam and Eve. They were ashamed in the midst of his holiness. And so they hid. They fled. And if you notice, whenever someone comes into contact with the Holy God in Scripture, the first response is always, always, oh, I'm doomed. It's over for me. I'm undone, came over, because I've seen God's holiness. I've seen God. That's the first response, right? But why? Because God is so holy and we're not. Now that was the exact same response that Moses had to Yahweh, to the Lord, when God called them. God, you must have the wrong guy. I'm afraid that many of us have this unbiblical view of who God is. There was once a TV show, a talk show, where the TV host once asked the audience, how many of you in this room believe in some kind of God, some kind of higher power, something greater than yourself, right? And do you know how many people raised their hands? Everyone raised their hands. Everyone in that audience, they all raised their hands. They believe in some kind of God, some higher power, some being greater than himself or herself. Now, how do you think that response might change if you ask a question this way with more clarity? Right? How many of you believe in Yahweh, the Lord, God of the Bible, the God who says there's no other God except for him, the God who will hold you accountable if you accept his son, Jesus Christ? You know, if you ask most people, they'll say, yeah, I believe in a higher being, higher power, or something greater than myself. But the question is, what is that power? What is that power? Is it gravity? Is it lightning? Is it some sort of an abstract idea of God or something? You ask people, who is this God? Right? Who? What is his name? And every person will come up with a different definition, different ideas, different picture of God. But brothers and sisters, this is what I want to tell you. God has revealed his name, and in his name, he has revealed his true character. He is the great I am. He's not, this is something that I'm going to be, I have the potential to become something. No, he says, I am who I am, right here, right now. It's not an impersonal force, it's a personal God who knows you, who hears you, who speaks to you. A God who reveals himself in the name. A God who sees, a God who can relate to the creatures that he has made in his own image. He's a God who led his people out of Egypt. He's a God with a name and a history. God's name tells us everything we need to know about who he is. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, was challenged by the religious leaders, and they sought to, you know, get him to say things that they would get him in trouble, right? So there was one scene in the Bible where the religious leaders were challenging Jesus about a certain topic, a certain issue. And the challenge was, are you greater than our father Abraham? Are you greater than Abraham? Now, we have to understand, in the midst of an average Jew, Abraham is the father of everything, father of faith, father of covenant, father of their nation. And so for someone to say you're greater than Abraham, what you're saying is, I'm God. You're basically claiming divinity. You're claiming godness. And so the question was asked to Jesus, are you greater than our father Abraham? And you know how Jesus answered them? In John, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham ever existed before, came into being, I was. They flipped out. These religious leaders, they were ready to stone Jesus. You're claiming to be God himself? How dare you? We remember how Jesus took that name, right? I am who I am. With all those I am statements that's found in the Gospel of John. I am the door. I'm the gate. I'm the Lamb of God. I'm the light, the true light. I'm the living water. I am the bread. I am, I am. He was claiming to be the Son of God. In other words, to be God himself. That same God who disclosed to Moses. I am who I am. Here I am in the flesh, he says. Church, our God, once again, he is the great I am. Not I am in the process of becoming, not what I hope for, what I wish to be, but I am. The Israelites were not dare to say the holy name of God, but because of Jesus, the Son of God, crucified and risen for us, the Holy Spirit testifies to our own spirits that we are adopted sons and daughters of God. We have the honor and the joy, the privilege of calling God Abba, Father. And so, church, let's not be afraid to call on the name of God. Let's not be ashamed of that name, because that name is life. That name is joy and blessing, peace and hope and everything that is good. There's power in that name. That name is so powerful. It's so powerful that it's like handling dynamite, right? And that's why God warns us not to take God's name in vain, but to cherish it, to worship it, to guard it, and to enjoy it. We bear the name of Christ. We're known as Christians, which means little Christ. That's our name. We bear his name. So let's not be ashamed to call on the name of God, whether it's Yahweh, Jehovah, or Adonai, Abba. There's just so many, you know, names in the Bible. But that name, the name that he gave to Moses, I am who I am, that summarizes everything about our God. He is self-sufficient, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, he's present everywhere, omnipresent. He's a God whose blessings are limitless, his mercies are always new. A God who doesn't have to evolve, who doesn't evolve, who doesn't need to become more fulfilled, fuller, because God is full completely already. And so let's go and honor the holy name of God in all of life. Let's not be ashamed to call on his name, but let's be proud of that glorious name. He is the great I am. And because he is, we can be. We can be what God has called us to be. Moses was able to go and lead his people out of Egypt, not because of his name, not because of what he had in him, but because of God, because of his name. And God has given you that name. God has given us, all of us, that name, Jesus Christ. And so let's worship that name, cherish that name, fall and worship that name, because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone will fall someday before that name. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing to us who you are through your word, that you are great I am. And so we thank you, Father, for giving us the privilege to know that and to call you Father. Father, your name is so mighty and powerful, and in just knowing your name, we find true love, true peace, true joy, and true hope. And so, Father, help us to continue to honor your name in all that we do and say, so that our lives may also reflect your love and your grace to the world, so that they too, those people who are around us, they too may experience your unfailing love. I pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.